in this dunya, there's a word, there's a statement that we commonly use in our lives, and that word is quite valuable on the face of it to many, and that word is success. Success. The word success or achievement is very valuable for us in our lives, because the word that comes in opposition to success is failure. Failure. Success or failure. And everything for the man or the woman or people in this world, everyone has a desire that every moment, every time we have the word success attached to our lives. Business I start, my desire is that my business becomes successful. If I open a new shop, my desire and hope is that this shop becomes successful. If my child goes to college, university, school, gives the exam, studies, and he himself, the student, my child, will desire to be successful. Yes? So it's apparent that life, all of the situations that we face in our life, this word is very precious to us. Success. Success. We want to attain success in everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also utilized this word in the Quran. Success. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has defined to us the reality of the definition of the word success. When? At that time, people, me, you, the whole world, everyone in the dunya, everyone, when we get up from our graves and dust down the soil, and we will be naked, and we will be standing on the plain of the Day of Judgment. And further, it will be extreme heat, and we will all be standing there. We will be drowning in our sweat. And if we don't even know what is going to happen next, what is going to happen to me, how long am I going to be standing here, when, how, what's going to occur, what's going to happen next, the scale will be brought forward, the scale of justice, hisab, kitab, the accounting will start, there will be darkness, and even something that is thinner than the hair, which is the bridge of Sirat, we will have to cross that, it is sharper than the sword. And below that bridge of Sirat is paradise or hellfire, which is waiting for us. And going through all of those phases, a person or the people will be split into two. One will be those on the right and then those on the left. And those on the right, all of the phases and the obstacles they will have to pass through, and it could take many years. Extreme heat, extreme challenge, extreme exam, extreme trial, extreme difficulties, obstacles. Me and you, consider, just think for a moment. It's me and you. You and me. We will pass through those phases, inshallah, alhamdulillah. And then, passing through those phases, obstacles, journeys, with the fadl of Allah, we enter into paradise. And then we go into paradise and sit in our palaces. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the word in the Quran, ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. That, oh you used to call this success in the world, but this is the asal proper success that you've got today. This is the success, my brothers. My brothers, for the small successes in the world, we run around unconscious. When my child fails, my jaws drop. If my business fails, I'm distressed. If my business transactions fail, then I start running after ta'weez and potions. Always success, success, success in the world. But Allah Ta'ala says, fawzun azeem. For me and you, what preparation am I making? What struggle am I making? What striving am I doing in this world? For the fawzun azeem. Why have I forgotten this, my brothers? This dunya has detached us from this success. Have you ever seen someone in this world? He's taken something from this world to thereafter. Take Sikandar, Alexander, who conquered the world. And when death came to him, he had a desire. He had one desire. He said to the people, I have one desire. Sikandar, Alexander, he said, I don't need nothing. He was 32 years old when he passed away. He said, take everything from me in the world, everything that I've conquered. He said, just one thing, that when, just for a little bit, just a little bit of distance, only a few days, A few days. He said, my final breath. I want it in my city, in my country. Please make me, take me back to my country. But he couldn't reach back to his land. Allah Ta'ala said, Maut came to him away from his land. And he gave Nasiha advice that when you bury me, do one thing. Sikandar the Great, Alexander the Great, read the history. Sikandar-e-Azam, imagine this person. Come to us. He said, my both hands, take them outside of my grave. So the people of the world realize that even Sikandar left the world empty-handed. He couldn't take nothing with him. My brothers, those people who die for wealth, for money, who hoard the stacks of wealth, understand that life is not the wealth. This life is not the wealth. Look towards the real asal life. Why have we lost everything? The understanding, the reality of the life and the hereafter. It's a very great reality. Very great reality. Successful is that person, ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ, who has listened and read these words of the Quran. That success, the greatest success, is the hereafter. And how? That these words, when they will reach to the inhabitant of paradise, all the distress of life, the process he passed on the day of judgment, the severities from death to the grave, to the akhir, final destination, all the maqamats he's passed through, the stages, the levels, all of the marahil, the tests and trials and challenges that will come our way, the boulders, the obstacles, and how lazy we are, how negligent we are. If yesterday was to be told to me, that you will have a big exam, big trials to come, you're going to be asked questions, and that person who passes, he will go to this country, and the person who fails will be deported. All night long I'll revise for that exam. Now, I've got to stay in this country. I don't want to be expelled. Oh, we've got to earn here. I don't want to be deported. I don't want to be sent away. And we totally have detached the true real understanding of life from our minds and our hearts. We have become so ghafil, so lazy, so negligent, that there's nothing that comes in our eyes that makes us realize what is the true life, what are we here for. That what will I do tomorrow? What will happen to me tomorrow? How will I face Allah? How will I answer the questions? Even a person who's about to die, even if we are not close to death, but death is close to us. The human being is not close to death, but death is close to the human being. Listen to what I'm saying carefully. The human being is not close to death, but death is close to the human being. Big, great statement that's come from my words here. Look closely to what I'm saying. That we are not close to death. That, let's say I'm not sick. I'm healthy. Nothing's been declared medically for me that I'm about to pass away because of ill health. I'm healthy, fit, totally strong. So that person is not close to death. But maut, death is close to him. He could be fit. He could be healthy. He's on the road and he passes away. Because maut is close to the individual. Do you understand that point? So this is the hal. Don't wait that, I'm close to death. I'm frail, I'm ill. No. Wait for what? That death is close to me, and that can be any time. Great statement. Great meaning. Understand this. So brothers, my brothers, big test, trial Allah Ta'ala has given to us of success. We have to succeed. And this success we've forgotten. The greatest test, let's pray to Allah from a true heart. After every prayer, make dua that Allah allow us to hear these words, ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ, because this will be the greatest success for us. We will become the most successful of people. Allah's mercy is azim. Allah is the merciful. Allah's rahmah is great, my brothers, my friends. And just like there's a saying, Allah Ta'ala's mercy seeks excuses to forgive the people. Allah Ta'ala's rahmah. And for the people of Iman, Allah's made excuses to forgive them. Unique excuses so that people can be forgiven for success, to attain success. Think. Beautiful, unique excuses. I remember a hadith in Sahih Muslim. Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates this hadith. That the noble prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I saw an individual wandering around in paradise. I saw an individual. Allah Ta'ala showed this to the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there was an individual wandering around enjoying himself in paradise. Dalikal fawzul azim. He was wandering around, journeying around, looking around. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, how did you come into paradise? With which deed? This is the meaning of the hadith. And he replied, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I was nothing. I was nothing. But Allah's mercy came to me. And I accepted Allah Ta'ala's mercy and I practiced upon it. I didn't waste Allah Ta'ala's mercy, the opportunity Allah gave to him. What was that? What was that? That once there was a tree and people used to come. People come to the masjid, people came towards that tree. And the tree's branches, whenever the people used to pass by, the musallis, and the branches went away for the people going to the masjid. And they used to sting them or hit them or pain them. So I used to feel that this tree is overgrown, is big, and it's an obstacle. This is the makhluk, the creation of Allah, and they get distressed, they get troubled. So, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I thought that what I should do is that I need to get this difficulty detached from the people. And I need to take this difficulty far from them. So I took hold of something and I cut off those branches that were in the way. So there's no obstacle to the human beings going on their way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked this action of mine so much, Allah ta'ala gave me Jannah, paradise for this. For this. Look at this point. This is an example. Allah gives so many excuses to us to get us into paradise. So many excuses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this amal is so beloved to me, so beloved to me. What action is this? Allah, of course, He went into paradise. That if you take away, remove the difficulty of a human being, if you remove the obstacle facing a human being, if you remove the distress facing a human being, if you remove the loss facing a human being, Allah Ta'ala says, these actions are so beloved to me. I don't see prayer, fasting, hajj and ibadah. Allah says, I have no standard for success. Don't count your prayers and your hajj and you think you're going to be forgiven. Allah can forgive from other actions. We are very weak. We know we're weak. I know we are weak. But there are such actions. Allah gives us easy actions. At least don't waste those actions. Those opportunities, have an eye on these and grab them. If we don't struggle and strive with ibadat, if we see that in our lives from morning till evening, we've got hundreds of opportunities. Hundreds of opportunities. We are passing through such a generation that nowadays there's no camels, no donkeys for transport. Here, nowadays we have cars, we have vehicles, that the people in the older times used to have camels and donkeys. And nowadays everyone has a car, a motor vehicle. A person who doesn't have a car, obviously then he's weak. He doesn't have the transportation. And it's necessary for everyone to have a car nowadays. So now, let's think, what's our situation? That even if we're coming into the masjid, if we go outside now, we'll realize that how quickly, for example, my jamaat might go, my congregation might go, and I'm rushing around driving and I'll park in a city place. Or I'll hit somebody else's car. Or I'll park in such a place that there was somebody else who had to leave his place where he was parked, and he can't leave his parking space because we blocked them in. So what kind of prayer is this? What sajda is this? You're running to the masjid, you're parking incorrectly, and you give distress to someone, difficulty, and in comparison to others, another insan who doesn't want to give pain and difficulty to others. He will park his car far away. He'll say, I don't want to park it close, I don't want to block someone in, I don't want to park incorrectly, I don't want to give difficulty to my fellow human being. Doesn't make any difference. Okay, some weak person will come, he can park his car near to the masjid. I'm fit, Allah has given me health, I'll park a bit further away and I'll walk to the masjid. Because my car is big and I will take up the place of two cars, and maybe some daif, weak person will come who's distressed, I'll park further away and I'll walk a little bit to the masjid. And I'll give this space to other people. With this niyyah, he did this and he didn't even enter into the masjid. Alhamdulillah. The misal, the example is in front of you, Sahih Muslim hadith, alhamdulillah. So this is for us the luggage for forgiveness. And we become so lacking hope. My salah is weak. I don't do amal. I haven't got good practice. Fine. But why don't you look towards all of these hundreds of opportunities that come pass our way every day? Someone's got a need. He can't go shopping on his own. He can't buy the shopping. He hasn't got money. Or they've got a problem. So you can ask, brother, do you need something? Do you want shopping? Shall I do the shopping for you? This is our great deen. This is our great deen. But us, forgive me for saying this, when somebody has a problem, when we have to assist someone, first the program from me is, oh, if I help him, how will he help me afterwards? Why should I do him a favor? How is he going to favor me? This is a majlis of tazkiyah. That's why I'm going to mention these words. It's not just dhikr, dhikr, dhikr. We do dhikr for this reason, to make our hearts soft so we assist people. That's why we come here to do dhikr of Allah. Allah Ta'ala make our hearts soft. So everything we do in the day, physically, we help people. We don't feel that, oh, what's he going to do for me afterwards to repay the favor? How much benefit can I take from him afterwards for helping him out? Well, if I teach his child, then what's he going to give to me if I teach his child? If he don't give me a benefit, then I'm not going to teach his child. And the person who can give me something, I'll teach his child. Or if I've taught his child, then brother, give me something in return, bro, because I did something for you. Then you are wasting all of your reward. Remember this. All of your reward. Serve the makhluk of Allah is the great, great action. To serve the creation of Allah is a big, big ibadah worship. Such a great worship to serve humanity. SubhanAllah, famous hadith that a person will be asked. Allah will ask, I was hungry, why did you not feed me? Allah will say, I was naked, why did you not clothe me? Allah will say, I was thirsty, why did you not give me water? But Allah was naked? Allah was thirsty? Allah needed clothes? Allah was hungry. The man will be amazed. Allah, how comes this? Allah said, my servant was hungry and you knew. Why didn't you feed him? Allah will say that he needed and you didn't give to him. Today we have zakat. If we look in our hearts, if we distribute correctly today, zakat, charity, distribute the funds to the needy, to their hands, and we take zakat out to the correct amount, we cry when it's zakat, how can I reduce my zakat? How can I hide my zakat? I've got debts, I've got problems, I look for 70 excuses so I don't have to pay money in zakat. Stinginess. So my brothers, our hearts have become so weird today, our deens become so weird today. Our deen is so weird today, we don't even practice the reality of the deen. Ajeeb deen we've made it. We've forgotten the essence of our deen, the basis of success in our deen, which is Allah's pleasure. Allah's pleasure is the basis of success. And it's not necessary you get that from salah. Allah Ta'ala has given ahkamat, Allah has ordered us, we do those things, fine. But alongside that, Allah Ta'ala has opened hundreds of doors that I can give you many other examples and examples are given. A person, why did Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tell us these events, examples I saw with my own eyes, the man in paradise, so that because our hearts are dead and they can become alive and we can realize that how to present ourselves nicely, softly to Allah's creation, to serve human beings, to look towards human beings, looking for excuses to help them. The capacity I've got to utilize that for other people's benefit. Allah Ta'ala has made me a hafid of Quran. I've done hifz. And there's a child who wants to do hifz. His parents want his child to be a hafiz. And you teach that person and you tried for that child to become a hafiz. SubhanAllah, you taught that person without any preconditions. Noor ala noor will become with you. This teaching is different. This teaching is different. The official teaching. The walis of Allah, why are they walis of Allah? Why is a wali a wali? Why are their names wali? Why are their names alive after they passed away? The people today, we see about them, read about them, they've died many generations ago. And you feel that they've just departed from the world today. They're still being named. And my husband, my sheikh, it doesn't feel like he's passed away. He feels so close to me. Why? Because he did such work of the deen that I was dead and he made me alive. My sheikh. Oh, and the walis of Allah do this action. What do they do, the walis of Allah? It's not magic. For example, you assist a human being and you park in a nice way to assist him. And the walis of Allah, they remove the difficulty of hellfire from a person. The person who's about to burn in hellfire, they remove him. Why does the sheikh teach us dhikr, give us nasiha, tarteeb, give a speech, the lecture to explain? Their only reason to do this is that somehow this man, this brother, can he be saved from hellfire? That is why the wali gives nasiha. The sheikh teaches the children. And they will hear swearing, they will hear criticism, they'll have problems and difficulties. The walis of Allah go through many challenges. But they will never, never expect that this student of mine who I want to save him from hellfire, that I want something from him in return. They don't want no favor repaid to them. The walis of Allah who do these actions, Allah revives them. Even after they passed away. So brothers, we need to stay alive for the creation of Allah to serve the human beings. Let's look at ourselves. Let's look at ourselves, that to save ourselves in the hereafter, what should I do to save myself that I should not give difficulty to anyone in this world? If I give difficulty to someone, ask for forgiveness. If I give difficulty to anyone, ask for forgiveness. I should take difficulty on my own head, but don't give it to anyone else. If I get this akhlaq in my life, ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. This is the fawzul adeem. Allah is saying that this person will go into paradise. Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, mercy, as I said in the beginning, seeks excuses to forgive us. This is an excuse. Look, we're sitting in this majlis. This is an excuse. Allah's gathered us here.
He sat me down, he sat you down, Haji Saab sitting down, he's sitting here, that person sitting here, Shaitan is saying, come on, come on, get up, go. But Allah sat us down. Why has Allah sat us down in this majlis? This is Allah's rahmah, seeking an excuse. Because Allah says that after this gathering, those people who do my dhikr, another example, who recite my name, Allah Ta'ala said, I love this gathering, I love this gathering, it's so beloved to me, so beloved to me, that whoever comes to the gathering of dhikr, doesn't matter stacks of sins he brings, whichever intention he comes with, whichever intention he comes with to the dhikr gathering, doesn't matter what intention he's come, he's done dhikr, Allah says, I announce after the gathering, these people are forgiven. Forgiven, is this not rahmah, mercy of Allah? And we don't understand. We're so foolish. We don't come to dhikr. We don't emphasize on dhikr. We force ourselves away from dhikr. At least those actions, Allah's opened the doors for us. Allah's given us congratulations. I give mubarak to all those brothers who, the sisters and brothers who listen to dhikr online. There are less people here and there are more listening online. In the whole world, there are people sitting 6 hours, 8 hours difference in the time zone. But look at Allah's mercy. Allah's mercy in their heart, Allah Ta'ala has instilled such a love. Allah Ta'ala's mercy has sought an excuse for them that in such a place, a remote corner of the world, they're listening online all night long. They wait 6 hours forward from the UK time zone. Half the night has passed. Imagine Allah Ta'ala's karam on those people. They're sitting all night long, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., somewhere in the world, in the country. Someone's in the afternoon, they're 6 hours behind. Somewhere now, it's afternoon and they're listening. Somewhere it's night, it's different times. All of the brothers and sisters online, they're listening to the dhikr. This is a record. We get a record digitally, we get data. How many brothers? The dhikr we did Thursday night, 850 men and women listened to that dhikr. Over 800 people attended online. Don't think we are just sitting here physically. Over 800 people worldwide listen to the dhikr. And dhikr they're doing alongside with us. So tell me how many people were forgiven that night due to dhikr. We should be ashamed. We should be ashamed. Those poor souls, they're listening online halfway through the night and day. And in this masjid where there's dhikr, there's no one here. No one wants to come. What a big loss. We think, oh, it's alright, I'm praying. Oh, it's okay, I know what I'm doing. Oh, I don't need to come, it's not important. My brothers, think, wake up. What kind of maqsad of life is this? If this was my maqsad, if this is our objective, then why would Allah Ta'ala tell people, do my dhikr for success? Why would Allah say this if it's not worth it? My brothers, whatever amal we have, they're not worth it that they can give us salvation. Except with Allah Ta'ala's mercy that we attain, that will give us forgiveness. Don't think you're guaranteed or I'm guaranteed. This is Allah's rahmah, this majlis of dhikr. Remember, just like He cut the tree to remove the boulder, the obstruction, any action where we do something for the assistance of the human beings, then that's rahmah, mercy. So these deeds, if we leave these amal dhikr, why do I pray salah? I don't need to do dhikr. I read Quran, I'm a hafiz, I've done tilawat, I recite in the morning, I give charity, this much money, I do this, X, Y, Z. I fulfill all the faraid. But do you know Allah has accepted those deeds? But this action, dhikr Allah, Allah has defined and has explained, this is my rahmah. Then you can say openly, Allah will definitely accept me. Because Allah Ta'ala has said Himself that a person who is a dhakir, who does dhikr, cannot leave. Because a person when he assists and removes the difficulty of a human being, he can never leave that ibadah without Allah Ta'ala's mercy. So seek the deeds that are full of the rahmah of Allah. And the beautiful deed with the rahmah of Allah is the dhikr of Allah. So even if you lock up your shop 10 minutes early for this gathering, doesn't matter. Lock the shop 10 minutes early, say there's dhikr. So what if I leave my shop 10 minutes earlier? No worries, it's once in a week, no difference will happen. At least from this shop I will get the forgiveness for leaving the shop early to go to the majlis of dhikr. This is the niyyah we should have. Allah will love this niyyah. Allah will give increased sustenance and profit and turnover. And Allah will compensate for your gross sale because you shut the shop early to come to the rahmah majlis, the dhikr gathering. So make this your tariqah, that attach dhikr, because dhikr is attached to rahmah, and for that reason you will remove the difficulties of people. So have this niyyah that this dhikr here and here and here, and this is the deed of rahmah, and this is better over and above the faraid actions that I'm doing. Why? Because the faraid actions I'm doing because I think I'm forced to do them and I don't know if they accept it. But I'm going here voluntarily with the love in my heart, and Allah Ta'ala inshallah will forgive. Brothers, never leave dhikr. Give dawah to your friends. Invite people to dhikr. And in the masjid, give dawah. And in this mosque, I will say that give the announcement at Jummah. Because as I've said, if you remove the difficulties of the human beings, Allah will give us paradise. So when you announce on Jummah for the dhikr gathering, your knee will be that people will come to dhikr and they'll be forgiven and they'll go to Jannah. So then Allah will forgive you, O person who's making the announcement. Why? Because you are removing the difficulty from somebody in their life by inviting them to dhikr. 10 people will come, sit down. 5 people will come and sit down. So alhamdulillah, what's the conclusion? They will be forgiven, because this is the gathering of bakshish. This is automatic, guaranteed forgiveness. Allah has announced. So when we give the announcement for dhikr on Jummah in the masjid, the old people of our locality come to dhikr, and then they'll come and sit, and we have this niyyah that they will sit and they'll be shrouded by Rahmallah's mercy, then they'll be forgiven, then they'll go to paradise. So you give the announcement, for example, you want to make something, so whoever wants to come and partake and take the share of success, so you're given the announcement. For what reason? What's your niyyah when you give the announcement? That these brothers will come to dhikr and be involved, included in the rahmah gathering. So that's why I'm giving the announcement, so that they can come to the gathering and benefit. And if you have this niyyah, then you will get the bakshish yourself. And this should be the tariqah. This is a masjid, so we can come to the masjid, to the masjid of dhikr. So when we're included, we'll sit down. So then we'll be successful even before the gathering. Allah will say, this person who's given the announcement, he feels pain for my human beings, because he knows when they come to the gathering of dhikr, they'll get forgiveness. But not just we come ourselves with the turbans and the libas, and we don't care about anyone else. How many people have you called yourself to the gathering? You just come yourself. I've never seen that you've invited or convinced someone to come with you, and you've brought somebody with you to the gathering. It's sad. How sad? You just come yourself. You don't care for anyone. Make a target in the morning that at least 5 brothers I'm going to give dawah to and bring them with me to dhikr. I'm going to give dawah. It's our job to invite. Whose job is it to send? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we're ashamed. Why should I tell him? He'll say, you're calling me to your dhikr. So what if they criticize you or push you or shove you? But you'll say, Allah, I've come into the masjid and I'm going to bring someone else with me to your home. At least from the people you know. Not once, not twice. Doesn't matter how bad they feel when you give dawah. Call your father. Do you not know? And your father, if he comes to this gathering once, he'll get forgiven. Don't you care for your father? But so much pride we have in our hearts. For the dhikr of Allah, we don't even want to come ourselves. We don't want to invite other people. We say, no, I don't need to come to dhikr. I'm beyond this. This majlis is for the ordinary people. It's not for me. I don't need to come here. It's just some ordinary action. It's irritating. We start making fuss. And we have pride. How can I tell those people? They're going to say to me, why are you giving us dawah? Even the women, alhamdulillah, we have this majlis. Call your 3-4 friends, just like you sit around chatting all day long. So can't you sit down and tell your friends, let's sit down and do dhikr together? Call new women. Give dawah invitation your home. Online, when dhikr is running online, call some women to your home. Don't sit down on your own. They don't sit and say, come to my house in the evening. Let's have some tea, have a chit chat, and do dhikr at the same time. And see what's the benefit. That when you have this pain for your sisters and the brothers, then the whole mashallah, your environment, locality, will go into paradise together. Dhalikal fawzul adheem. Don't waste your life. Do actions yourself and call others to the good. I'm not doing this to make my murids understand what I'm trying to say. Do you understand the maqsad of life? There are other people, you hear their story. There's a sheikh and he's trying to get a group. No. My objective is different, brothers. These people are different and I am different. We don't have greed for numbers. We call people to dhikr for this reason. People think I'm running after people. Call them to the masjid, to the khanqah, to make a group, to make the numbers up. This is not the intention. Piri, muridi, to increase the group, the cult. You're sitting here. What are you going to give to me? 25, 30 years. Have I asked anything from you? Have you bought me a car? Have you given me a business? Have you given me a shop? Have you given me cash? I have not asked for nothing, and nor do I. Rather, people come and complain to me. You know your murid, he does this sin. You know your students have to do this sin. No problem. Our relationship is like the father and the son. And I have to listen to the complaints about my children. I've got no problem. But what do you give to me in return? You don't call one person to dhikr. You don't invite people to dhikr. We have dhikr here, other masjids. You just come yourself. Okay, mashallah, your coming is a good favor for me. Alhamdulillah. And you say, we've come ourselves, but on the day of judgment you will regret. I'm telling you this clear now from my heart. If you have yaqeen on this as success, the Quran and Hadith is given us haq, and we come to this majlis which is haq, mi fikr for the akhirah, there are many doors that are open for us to attain salvation and forgiveness. Many opportunities. And the biggest one we should have for is for our family. Our father is old. Take his hand. Abaji, come with me to dhikr. But we don't have no fikr for our father, mother. Today, my brothers, save each other. That after every dhikr, there's forgiveness. We don't care about our children, my son, my daughter. Brothers, go to the actions that give forgiveness in 1 second. Okay, I have children, daughter, son. They're off track. They're deviated. Or our children, our daughters off track. Then we need to bring our children back to the deen. Sit them in the dhikr. As soon as they sit in dhikr, they'll be forgiven. Because Allah says, these are the excuses for forgiveness. Every ummati, every Muslim Allah wants to drag into the paradise. Bring your children. The children, they don't know what I'm saying. They don't know what I'm saying. They don't even understand. But the effect will come into their hearts. My friends, not only will the children be forgiven, their parents and their grandparents and their grand-grandparents will be forgiven. Bring your children. Tell them at this time they might be playing games or running around in the dunya. But we'll call our children to the shop. We'll fight with them. Why don't you come to the shop? Work in the shop. Make money. Young children, youth, in their youth. We don't even dare to ask them to come to dhikr. We're scared. We don't have no fikr. We don't have no worry for them. But we are worried. My son, how many pounds you gonna make? Daughter, go to the shop. Daughter, go to work. Son, go to work. Money. Wealth. Oh, servants of Allah. Think. Have fikr. The time is about to come. Very difficult time will come. Very difficult times to come. Brothers, do something now. Time is passing very fast. Have courage. Take benefit yourself. This is such a tree. Just like the mango tree. Eat from the mango tree and give others the mangoes also to eat. Try from today. Have courage. Give dawah. Invite your parents. They're old. Bring them physically. Sit them down once at least so they get forgiven. Bring your children, elders, relatives. Tell everyone in your family, the women, everyone, make preparations online. Dhikr, all of you come. Wallah, I'm sitting in Allah's house. I have not done nothing, nor do I have the habit. How does this happen? How do people listen online? How does the live streaming go? Allah Ta'ala has prepared this, not me. I don't even know how to put the laptop on, the computer, the connection. I have no knowledge of this. I didn't have the shock for this, the passion for this, that this is how the dhikr should. Wallahi, I swear, I don't even know how to connect a mic to the system. If there's a mic, I'll do dhikr. If there's no mic, I'll do dhikr. It doesn't make any difference to me. But Allah Ta'ala has prepared this for the people around the world, that He wants His makhluk, the ummah, to be forgiven. Today, we are so weak. Allah Ta'ala says, ummah, you are so weak, you're going towards Jahannam. At least through the dhikr of majlis that is being done in such a place, remote location, that at least the people around the world can hear it so that they are forgiven. But there's no struggling, there's no striving, there's no making effort, nothing. So inshallah, do we all promise? Do a promise that the people that you love and you have regard for, drag them. And in those masjids where there's dhikr, give dawah, invite people, advertise it, call people, because we've made this masjid so we can save people from hellfire. Not people say, wow, it's this mosque, this person's the person in charge. That's not the point. Have pain, have regard for the makhluk, that whoever comes will be forgiven and will leave. Dars, tabliq, or whatever teaching, education. And because I'm attached to dhikr and the speciality of dhikr, I'm telling you the benefits of dhikr. Do such dhikr that you have enjoyment. When we do dhikr now, inshallah, we'll feel enjoyment. We do all sorts of kalimat. I don't know, should I do it loudly, quietly, softly? But there should be passion and satisfaction, taste from doing dhikr of Allah. So give dawah, invite people, will be asked on the day of judgment. Did you call people? Did you tell your children? My friends, no deed will be accepted. I'm telling you according to the meaning of the hadith, that there's no deed that we can say is guaranteed Allah will accept it, except the dhikr of Allah, which is guaranteed acceptance. Guaranteed. So today, there's so few time left, brothers. The time is so short. Allah knows best when we will depart this world. Do I know what my son is doing right this moment? He might have an imamah. He may have the appearance of a Muslim. Have knowledge and alim and ilm. You don't know what your son's doing at this moment in time. What hal is he in? And who will answer for this? The father will answer for this. The father will have to answer the day of judgment. Why? Why didn't you give tarbiyah to your children? Why didn't you take them to good company? Why didn't you take them to good gatherings? Why didn't you take them to majlis? Why didn't you strive with them, make effort on them? Why didn't you bring them to such a gathering where there is forgiveness? Why did you come yourself and disregard your children? Why didn't you care for your awlad, their tarbiyah? What are they doing? You just come yourself? You're just selfish? No. So brothers, there's one man, from one man a lot can happen. Rasulullah was alone. He recited the kalima alone on his own, and this is the biggest encouragement for the ummah today. Look at Rasulullah SAW and look at the ummah today. He was on his own. And today you are strong, you have influence, you have ability, and I'm hopeful that you will give dawah to your families, you will explain to them the deception of life, come to the reality of life. Life is short, very, very short. When the generation of fitna, the day and age of fitna, quietly come and start doing dhikr and go to success, and this will be your greatest achievement in life. May Allah give us all tawfiq, the ability and the courage, so we can strive on this and make effort ourselves. Ameen.